In the beginning of Parshas Shlach, we learn about the story of the Meraglim. The Meraglim were a group of spies, a group of Jewish leaders, who were sent to check out Eretz Yisrael and tell the Jewish people about Eretz Yisrael in order that they would be excited, in order that they would be interested in going to conquer the land. However, the story has something of a tragic ending. The Meraglim go and see the land, and their report of the land is very threatening. They say that the land is inconquerable, and as a result, the Jewish people get very scared, they cry, they complain, and ultimately, Hashem punishes them for this lack of faith, and the entire generation of adults who cried over entering the Holy Land of Israel ultimately do not enter the Land of Israel. They all die in the desert, and only their children go into Eretz Yisrael. What was so bad about what the Meraglim said about Israel? And what lesson can we learn from the Meraglim story for our lives now? What timeless lesson does the Meraglim story teach us? What lesson would it have taught us 3,000 years ago? What lesson might it have taught in 1950? What lesson does it teach in 2021? And what lesson will it teach in 2100? So in the Kudas Sichas, Chelek Yud Ches, in the first Sicha, the Rebbe quotes Rashi, where Rashi says that Lama Nismecha Parshas Meraglim LeParshas Miriam. Why is it that the story of the Meraglim was juxtaposed to the story of Miriam? Because Miriam got saras at the end of last week's parsha, she got leprosy, which Chazal tell us is the result of speaking poorly about others. So she got that as a result of speaking poorly about Moshe. And these wicked ones, as in the Meraglim, they saw what happened, and they didn't take a lesson from what happened to Miriam. What's the common denominator between Miriam and the Meraglim? So both Miriam and the Meraglim spoke poorly of someone or something. Miriam spoke poorly of Moshe. She said, why is it that Moshe separated from his wife? She questioned Moshe's marriage, she questions Moshe's marital choices, and she said, Harak b'Moshe dibra Hashem. Did Hashem only speak to Moshe? Haloi gam banu diber. Didn't Hashem also speak to us, meaning to Miriam and Aaron, and they remain married to their Jewish spouses? So why is it the case that Moshe made different marital decisions? Why is it that Moshe would have gotten divorced in order to remain a prophet? So what Miriam said was ultimately true. She merely observed the fact. Similarly, the Meraglim, they went to Eretz Yisrael, and they just went back, and they came back to the Jewish people, and they reported the facts. They said that the inhabitants of the land were, in fact, very strong, and they described at great length why the inhabitants were so formidable and why, naturally speaking, the Jews would not be able to conquer the land. So the Rebbe answers that the core problem with both Miriam and the Meraglim, and the reason why the Meraglim should have learned from Miriam, is because both committed a similar sin. And this will teach us a very important lesson in life, in relationships, in leadership. First, when you notice that someone or something has a problem, you should talk directly to the person who has a problem, or at least who you think has a problem. Don't go around to others and start speaking at length about the person's problem. And of course, don't confront the person with an attack, but rather question. It seems to me that such and such is the case. So, in Miriam's case, instead of talking about Moshe to Aaron and talking to Aaron at great length, what Miriam might have best done was she could have gone to Moshe and asked him, why is it that you're making the following marital choices? And asked in a way of caring, in a way of compassion, in a manner of curiosity, and not in a manner of criticism. Similarly, instead of making a whole hullabaloo in front of the people, and instead of giving great, long, theatric discussions of how scary the land was, which scared off the entire people, the Meraglim might have first discussed their account with Moshe and asked him how to best present their perspective to the people. So that's lesson one. Don't talk too much to other people about problems that you observe. Go directly to the source, and when you confront what you believe to be the source of the problem, confront them in a compassionate way. The second lesson is, when you observe problems in the world, look at the problems or what you believe to be the problems with a certain perspective of humility. In Miriam's case, she asked a very reasonable question. Harak ben Moshe diber Hashem, halo gam banu diber. Did Hashem only speak to Moshe? He spoke to us as well. So from Miriam's perspective, Moshe's behavior was very strange. Moshe's behavior of separating from his wife in order to remain a prophet was anomalous. But Miriam had insufficient data. Miriam did not understand the difference in the character between her prophecy and Moshe's prophecy. And only after she had complained about Moshe, and only after she had started discussing Moshe behind Moshe's back, did Hashem reveal that Loi Chein Avdi Moshe. Moshe is on a different boat than you are. Moshe is a different sort of prophet, and therefore the rules of his life are different. Similarly, the Miraglim made their assessments about the Jewish people's capacity to conquer Israel without full knowledge of how Hashem might react and how Hashem might respond, how Hashem might allow the Jews to come to Israel. The Miraglim saw a limited set of data points, and then they drew the conclusion, we're not going to be able to conquer it. Here again, the Miraglim made a similar mistake to that of Miriam. Both the Miraglim and Miriam had a limited set of data points. And they took that limited set of data points and they ran with it. They drew unfounded, ungrounded conclusions about other people and about matters of national destiny and national security based on their own myopic perspective. Now, of course, the challenge in life is that we always have limited data. And if you never take action until you have all the data, you'll never be able to act in life. You'll never do anything. The issue is, though, that Miriam and the Miraglim, respectively, shot too quickly. They acted too quickly without having greater humility and collecting more data and questioning their perspective and wondering maybe their perspective was wrong. So we see that the juxtaposition of the parshios of Miriam and the Miraglim teach us a timeless lesson, or two timeless lessons, when it comes to relationships and when it comes to leadership. First, if you're in a relationship with a spouse, a child, a sibling, a parent, a friend, and you think that the other person in the relationship is doing something wrong, don't immediately run to talk about them behind their back and begin spinning tales and spreading rumors and speaking at great length. Gently ask them about it. And that way you can save yourself and the relationship a lot of headache. And this applies doubly in a case of leadership. Be it if you're a boss in a business, be it you're a teacher at a school, you're a rabbi, whatever it might be, don't immediately run to make what you believe to be problems public. Don't run to create crises if it's not necessary to create a crisis, but rather speak to the few relevant individuals who can clarify matters before calling a crisis. And the second point, which is true both in the context of relationships and in the context of leadership, is don't run to brash conclusions based on a limited set of data points. Collect a lot of information and formulate very humble, tentative perspectives, because there might be an element of the picture that you're missing. And living life with these two simple lessons helps us live life in a manner of kol yimei chayecha, all the days of your life, one should be in a state of, as the Haggadah tells us, lohavi limayis hamashiach, that it's our objective, it's our goal, it's our responsibility to manifest a messianic reality, to manifest a perfected reality. Because by living life with these two insights, we'll have better relationships, we'll be healthier people, we'll have better leadership, and as a result, we'll be able to accomplish our personal, our familial, and our national goals. Like, for example, entering the land of Israel, and all that proverbially and literally entails.